The Christina Borgeson Show on TNT.
Hi, I'm here with investigative reporter Kelly O'Meara, who is one of the rare reporters who has not only deeply investigated the Adam Lanza shooting, but she has been investigating all of the school shootings as they have occurred, and her investigations are much more thorough and much deeper than virtually any reporter I know. So in this hour, we're going to be talking about Uvalde. And everybody knows Uvalde from the get-go. After it happened, all kinds of strange things started happening. So we're going to let Kelly break them all down for us.
Well, Christine, I think Uvalde is sort of an interesting case right off the bat, because they've actually had three reports come out so far. They're like preliminary reports. And what I found in each of these reports is interesting to me as far as how things kind of changed. You know, they had, 347 police officers from different agencies on the scene that day. There were only 400 kids in the school, so it's like one law enforcement person.
One per kid.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, they wouldn't let the parents in because nobody was doing anything, and they arrested some of the parents over the phone. So what we're going to do is just kind of quickly go through these reports. And, again, these are the official reports that have been put out so far. The first report that came out was put out by the Texas Department of Public Safety. The guy's name is Colonel McGraw. He provided a report to the Texas State Legislature, sort of giving them the preliminary timeline of how everything happened. Colonel McGraw is sort of an interesting guy because he is putting out the official timeline of the shooting, and he says within a minute of the shooter entering the school at 11:33, he didn't appear to encounter a locked door, and he began shooting. He briefly walked out of the classroom.
Wait a second. He did not appear?
He did not appear to encounter a locked door.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's how Colonel McGraw has put it to the Texas legislature. And he says he briefly walked, the shooter briefly walked out of the classroom door, then went back in shooting some more. And I don't believe this. If you look at the video that's available on, the internet, anybody can pull it up. Go to the 11:33:08 mark. You'll see the shooter in Uvalde walk through the outside door into the school, make a right-hand turn, walk down the hallway to rooms 111 and 112. You will see him stand in the hallway and shoot at the classrooms. Okay, you'll see him walk into a 3-foot inset. It's like an inset where the doors are. Once he walks into that inset, you don't know what he's doing. You can hear shooting, but you don't know if he's in those classrooms yet or not. Then he backs out into the hall again and continues shooting, then walks into the classrooms. So for Colonel McGraw to say that he shot at the doors from the hallway, then walked into the classrooms, I'm not going to accept that, because frankly, you can't see that. He's assuming that's what he did, and I'd rather stick to the facts, have real clarity. So on that one, I'll take an offense to that one. I think that...
So this is what he reported. He said that the door was open.
Yes. So another thing that's interesting is throughout Colonel McGraw's presentation to the Texas State Legislature, he is telling them what's happening, you know, minute by minute by minute. And there's a gentleman by the name of, a police officer by the name of Pete Ardando, who is the chief of police of the school safety for Uvalde. And throughout this tape, you know, Pete Ardando is saying, I need keys. I need the master key. I can't get in the door. This is when they're trying to get into rooms 111 and 112. And so he says this 5 times in this timeline that's being presented to the state legislature. Peter.
Now, wait a second, Kel. Let's compare what Ardando is doing. Let's do it like a simultaneous thing. Ardando is asking for the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, at what time is he asking for these keys?
Probably about the 1:40 mark. He gets there about 1:40, 1:45.
So that's 7 minutes after.
Yes.
After the shooter starts shooting.
Right.
And meanwhile, how much time is it before those other people come in?
That was pretty close. They were there fairly quickly, within 3 minutes of the shooter shooting.
So within 3 minutes, there's, I don't know how many of them.
Three.
There are three of them.
Three police officers run into the building. Yes.
And they're armed.
Right.
And they have their bulletproof vests on.
Right.
Now, and they're in that hallway.
Right. They get shot at, actually, through the walls.
Okay.
And they retreat. Once the shooting starts through the walls, they retreat.
Back up. Yeah, they back up down the hall.
Right. And nobody else goes down that hallway while he's shooting until, you know, what, an hour and 17 minutes later. So anyway, what's interesting, and I want to stick to the reports because you'll see the timeline sort of changes and things change. So what Colonel McGraw of the Texas Department of Public Safety is saying is that rooms 111, excuse me, they're saying they believe the door was unlocked. And this is a really important point that we'll get to at the end when we go to the last report. So, Peter Arredondo, the chief of police for school safety in Uvalde, right? He's saying, no, the door is locked. I need keys. However, Colonel McGraw says at the end of his timeline in front of the legislature, he says, at 12:57:47, a sledgehammer arrived. 3 minutes later, the room is breached by the Border Patrol. Okay, so that leads you to believe that they used a sledgehammer to open this door, right? So that's Colonel McGraw's report. And
wow. Meanwhile, that break-in occurs after all the action has gone down.
Yes, that's an hour and 17 minutes later.
Wow, okay.
Okay, the next report we have is from an organization. It's called ALERT, okay? It's called Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training, ALERT.
All right, and who asked them to write a report?
Okay, so the Texas legislature asked them to look at it because this is the group that trains law enforcement on how to handle school shootings.
Oh, okay.
So they looked at it, and basically what's interesting is they say that upon reaching rooms 111, 112, the suspect fired a series of rounds from the hallway in the direction of the classrooms 111 and 112. That is accurate. That is very accurate. In the direction of rooms 111 and 112. He's standing out in the hall, firing the gun into those, in the direction of those classrooms. They don't say it's in the classroom. So I give them credit for that. Then he says that he appeared to back out of the room, back out of the 3-foot inset.
Not out of the room,
no,
then.
No, excuse me, out of the 3-foot inset in the hallway.
Okay.
Okay. And appears to, it says that it backed out of what appears to be classroom 111. And I'm going, again, you know, he wasn't in 111 yet. Again, this is, they're assuming that once he walked into that 3-foot inset, they're just assuming it because you cannot see.
Yeah.
Based on the video, you can't see if he got into that room yet. And they're making the same assumption. So then we say, at 12:50, now this is, it started at 11:33. At 12:50, we have an ad hoc team that assaults room 111. The suspect had concealed himself in a book closet and then emerged when the team made entry. Okay? So what's interesting, 3 minutes before that, 12:47:57, the deputy arrives in the west hallway with a sledgehammer. Okay? So now wait, so they bring up the sledgehammer too, which is just, it's actually kind of...
But what is this sledgehammer BS? I mean, the stuff, it's already, who cares what happened after? Why are you talking about bringing a sledgehammer to open the door after all the action has gone down? What's the importance of that?
Well, what's important is that we're waiting on a whole lot of police officers, a whole lot of law enforcement to go in that room and get those kids out. They may not all be dead. They may be still alive. And we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. So what we find, though, is that a Halligan tool, basically, it's a long tube. You put it between the door jams, and it breaks the door jams and allows the door to pop open. That was brought in at 12 35. So we have a Halligan to break the door jamb. Now we have a sledgehammer, I guess, to break the handle and the lock. However, at the end of the alert report, this is an official report, the assault team entered room 111, had...
The assault team,
which is the six Border Patrol agents that did the assault on room 11.
I love that they call them the assault team as if they were the guys who were supposed to do it in the first place or something, you know?
The assault team had keys that could unlock the door. It does not appear that any officer ever tested the doors to see if they were locked.
Well, how did they get the keys and not Redondo, who's...
Again, what's important is these are official preliminary reports that are being provided, and they're saying, remember, Peter Redondo, five times during this hour and 17-minute siege, he's asking for keys. Give me the keys. I can't open the door. It's locked. Now they're saying the Border Patrol had the keys.
But that's weird because the Border Patrol they're not connected to the school in any way. So who did they get the keys from?
Once they got in the building, okay, Redondo was telling everybody, I need keys. I need master keys.
Right.
The Border Patrol was there in the hallway waiting to assault the door as soon as somebody found the keys.
They were already there. Okay.
So anyway, the next report is the one that's actually really interesting. Because this is done by the Texas House of Representatives, the Investigative Committee on the Robb Elementary Shooting. And this is 82 pages long. It's a preliminary report by the Investigative Committee of the Texas Legislature. And they get a little more detailed, which it doesn't answer any questions for me. I've got lots of questions about the door. And for me, the door is important. Because either A, the door was locked, or B, it was open. You have to ask yourself, how did the shooter get in that door?
But why is that important?
Because it matters what law enforcement did after that kid got in. Let's assume two things. Let's assume the door was open and he just walked in, right? No problem. Why wouldn't law enforcement have the same ability to just walk in, right? So let's say the door was locked and the kid is shooting that door. And you can see in the video, at least 50 rounds went into that door. So let's pretend that he actually broke the lock by shooting it. Okay? Well, again, the door's open. Why did it take an hour and 17 minutes for law enforcement to go into that room?
Exactly.
That's why it's important what happened here with this door.
Right. Okay.
So we're going to look at what the official preliminary report says for the Texas State Police, or excuse me, the Texas State Legislature. It says room 11 could be locked, but an extra effort was required to make sure that the latch engaged. So the big question here is, you know, could room 111's door lock? And when you know.
Is that the big question?
It is, because the teacher in room 111, his name is Reyes, he was shot in the room, but he survived. He's the only one who survived in that room. And he is saying that he doesn't remember if he locked the door that day or not. Now remember, their policy in Uvalde, in every school in Uvalde, was that all classroom doors would be locked at all times. All times the doors were supposed to be locked. Not just during a lockdown practice, when they have practice lockdowns. All day, every day, those doors are supposed to be locked. Well, Reyes reports, you know, he doesn't remember if he locked the door that
day.
Well,
I'll tell you, I don't remember is a pretty good position for him to take, because imagine the trouble he'd be in if he did remember and it was unlocked.
Well,
I'm just saying.
And again, that's a possibility. We know that room 112 was locked. Now, again, these doors in this 3-foot inset, they're right next to each other, about 6 inches apart. We know that room 112 was locked because the teacher across the hall saw that teacher come out, lock her door, and go back in. So we know 112 was locked. 111, where the 11 kids were shot and killed. That's the one we're concerned about, because that apparently was the entryway for the shooter to get in. And again, it's important if that door was locked, because it takes longer for the shooter to get in if it's locked, you know? I mean...
Well, you can kind of see on the video just how long it took him to get in.
Right, but that gives law enforcement time to get there and stop him. If you have a locked door, well, that makes it harder.
Yeah, but the weird thing is law enforcement is standing out there in that hallway. After he's already in, you can hear him shooting away.
Right.
And they're just sitting there.
Right. Right. Well,
which again, is a bizarre situation.
And they're, you know, again, we're going to see that they've already said law enforcement didn't do the right thing that day, right? They all, none of them acted appropriately, and they certainly didn't act based on the training they've all received.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, again, it's interesting that Uvalde has this locked door policy. And so we know that based on, you know, conversations that have come out since then, well, they got a little lax, they didn't always lock their door, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's weird, though, because teachers have to actually leave their room to put a key in the outside of the door to lock it and then go back in the room. This is a weird locking system.
Yeah, it's a process. We're going to have to take a break right here. I just want to tell you that you should be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio. We'll be right back.
You should hear what Brian McClain is talking about.
The fallout, the supply chain, the financial fallout. This stuff is all just marching onward, all completely marching onward, all in the name of defending the perfect utopian democracy that exists in Ukraine. That's what we're told they have, and we all have to suffer at the pump. We have to suffer via supply chains. We have to suffer watching hyperinflation happen and recession set in while we send billions of dollars over to support the utopia of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. All right.
Brian McClain on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
We need a recalibration of government. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I'm here with investigative reporter Kelly O'Meara. We in our first hour, we talked about the Adam Lanza shooting. And we talked about the forensic evidence involved with that, and I urge you to go back and listen to that because it's quite shocking. Now we're on to Uvalde, and she is looking at the initial reports that have come out that have been also commissioned, right, on Uvalde, and pointing out the anomalies and the contradictions in those reports. So it seems like we can't seem to get straight answers on any of these shootings, Kel.
Well, it's odd.
Which is kind of the point, but...
It's odd in this case in Uvalde because normally they don't put out preliminary reports. You don't get this many preliminary reports in school shootings. You get a final report, you know.
What does your brain tell you about that?
About what?
Why they're putting out these... preliminary reports.
Well, I think because it was so obvious that law enforcement screwed up, okay, that there was such an outcry, even from law enforcement all over the country, all over the right. world, like, what the heck was going on there?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that they felt a real need to get something out to kind of explain, you know, what they did and why they did it, and you know.
Wow.
But it hasn't helped.
Yeah, it hasn't helped
the situation.
If anything,
it's added to the confusion, I think, at this point, because again, I'm fixated on classroom door 111. Because that's how the shooter got in, and that's how he
Well, if he got in, how come they didn't get in?
Well, exactly.
Well, I mean, come on. It's a basic question, right?
Well, he couldn't lock the door after him. And we know he shot the hell out of the door.
Yeah.
At least 50 rounds. At least 50 rounds. So we know he shot the hell out of room 111 before he entered the room. Before he entered.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, well, he must have been trying to break the lock, right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And they're saying, no, nobody ever checked to see if the lock was working, whether the door was actually locked. And I'm like, well, I want to see the door. Show me a photograph of that door, 111. And
show
we know.
Show me the door.
Yeah, show me the door, right?
This is door gate.
It is. It's ridiculous, but it's important.
Yeah,
it's important.
Oh, no, it's
because of what actions happened after that door was opened.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
So anyway, if you read these reports, and right now we're on the most recent preliminary, which was put out by the Texas State Legislature, and they say that the custodian at Robb Elementary School testified that he never heard about any problems with door 111. Okay, so usually if a door is broken, they'll put in a ticket to get it fixed.
Right.
Okay, so the custodian who does this, he's like, I never got a ticket for this. I would have fixed it if I got one, right?
Right.
So he's testifying to the committee that, you know, I never got any information.
About something being wrong with it.
Right. So then we go. So then we have the, they're interviewing the principal, and in her name is Gutierrez. Mandy, I think is her first name. And she confirmed that the school administration knew about issues with the door, stating that it was reported around the spring of 2022. Which is interesting that that's in this report because, you know, she was let go. She was suspended.
Didn't they try and nail her for this?
Yeah, she was suspended.
For Doorgate, right?
Yeah, for Doorgate.
Yeah, they tried to nail her. Boy, she came right back.
Yeah, she did. She did. She came right back.
No puns intended, but...
With her attorney. And I'll tell you, what she wrote was really, really good.
It was eye-opening.
Yeah, because she said, that door locked. Okay? And she wrote this. And she explained why she knows it locked. It locked because the night before the shooting, all those doors are checked. That door was locked. Okay? The teacher, Reyes, had to unlock that door in the morning in order to get in and the kids to get in. Okay? So she's putting all this in a letter through her attorneys. So they reinstituted her into her position after this letter.
Yeah, too sweet.
Because that door locked.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that it was her responsibility. You know what I mean? That door locked. She did what she was supposed to do. Okay? So I think that was very, very interesting on her part. Now I understand she's been transferred, actually, to a different school.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
So anyway, so let's get back to this report. One of the things that we find in this report is that they pay no attention to the shooter himself. And I still think, regardless of the door, regardless of the law enforcement's efforts or lack of efforts to get into this door. The shooter is, you know, the most important thing. What he did is criminal. It's a criminal act.
Of course.
Okay? And they pay very little attention to him in this report. They give us no information about his mental health, which I think is really important in all these cases. Were they taking psychotropic drugs? Were they on any kind of mind-altering psychiatric drugs? And if they were, what were they and how long were they on them? Or had they recently gotten off of them? Because when you withdraw from those drugs, it's very, very difficult too. So we're not getting any of that information in this report. They also jump, when they do give you information about the shooter, they went from fourth grade up to high school. They skipped all those years in between. And I'm like, now why did they do that?
Why would they do that?
Right? So that's, to me, again, these are things that jump out to me.
I mean, I'm asking you to speculate. Why do you think they did not include those years?
Well, I would say...
What could be the possible reasons?
I think that there's information in there about him getting some sort of state mental health help. That's what I think.
So the state does not want to be sued
maybe.
By the parents of the dead kids.
Maybe. Basically. But again, it's something that you'd want to know. You want to know if this kid had mental health issues and if he had been drugged at any time.
And whose care he was under.
Exactly.
Because those people could be liable.
Exactly.
And that's, see, this is the thing is, a lot of times I feel... I don't know. The Adam Lanza thing is very bizarre to me. But in this case, there seems to be a massive CYA thing underway.
Well, there is, certainly with law enforcement. And I don't understand. I read in this report that they actually took photographs of the door of room 111. And it is sitting on the floor in room 111 now as we speak. So I'm like, well, show us the door. What
yes.
the hell? Show us the door. Yeah. I don't need to see dead bodies of kids or whatever, but, you know, show me the door. First of all, before you took it down off its hinges, you could have taken a picture of it that way.
Exactly.
Just show us the door. Let us see what it looks like. But they didn't. They showed us a different door in the school like it. You know? They just went to a different door and took a picture of a regular door without any bullet holes in it.
Now, why would they do that?
I have no idea.
Because they don't want you to see that the door was shot. This is the reptilian brain speaking.
Your reptilian
brain.
Yes, it is.
The reptilian brain.
I'm trying not to jump reptilian, okay?
I think the reptilian brain gives you avenues of investigation. That's why I love the reptilian brain. And I think the reptilian brain is saying they don't want you to see that shot up door because that will tell you the door was opened when he walked in, which means those bozos who are in the hallway are criminally remiss.
Well, again, this is why it's important. If that door was open and they failed to go in for an hour and 17 minutes, that's amazing. I mean, that's really...
What is that? I mean, is that professional negligence? I mean, to what level of malfeasance or crime does that action, you know, rise? Because you just went through, and you periodically go through, these school shooting trainings where what you're told to do is literally to swarm the
yes.
classroom.
Ever since Columbine.
Toot sweet, quickly, right now. You hear that stuff's going on, you just go in there and, you know, bring down the shooter.
Absolutely.
And save
ever
those
since
kids.
Columbine, it has been... Really, you don't wait. No waiting. You go in. Absolutely. And so they definitely failed in this instance. An hour and 17 minutes. I mean, it's inexcusable. And everybody knew that immediately. Immediately, everybody knew it. Right?
Yeah.
They knew that this
but
was a
But why were they also actively not allowing people to go in? EMS people weren't allowed to go in?
I don't know. You know... Nobody knew who was in control. Arredondo, everybody thought Arredondo was in control, Peter Arredondo, but he's saying I wasn't in control.
Yeah, but you say nobody knew who was in control, but some people were acting like they were in control because they were telling the cops and they were telling EMS not to go in, right?
Right.
So they thought they were in control. And why were they keeping them from going in? Why would you keep them from going in?
Well, again... They were saying they couldn't get in the door.
No. First of all, they could at least get in the door. At the very least, all 300 of those law enforcement could have been right behind those scared bozos in the hallway. There could have been a mass of police right down that hallway because all that was already open.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Of course, there were ways to get
man,
in the door.
I'm getting worked up now.
However, they were looking for keys. Keys to get in the door.
Yeah,
then they brought in the Halligan. Then they brought in the sledgehammer.
All that to me, Kelly, all that to me feels like some kind of weird...
Don't say hoax.
No, I'm not going to say hoax. It's almost like a delaying, either out of fear or I think out of fear. Well, we need keys to get in. Well, we need to bash it in. Well, we need a Halligan. Now, well, we need a sledgehammer. Well, we need... Meanwhile, the guy's in there. Meanwhile, the guy's done.
Yeah, he's done.
Okay, so...
So here's the thing.
Actually, when you think about the whole thing and talk about it, It's heart-stopping.
Well, here's the thing. Let's go back to the report a minute, because it says here in the notes of the report, it says Reyes, who is the teacher in room 111, he tells the committee investigators that he believed the attacker entered through 112. Now, this is a little bizarre to me. Now, granted, he's been in the hospital. He was shot. You know.
Well, was Reyes supposed to be in that room anyway? That's another thing.
No, if you go to their website, he's actually supposed to be in room 127, which I find that kind of odd.
So what's he doing in that room?
So I have no idea why he was in 111, because on the school's website, it says he's in room 127. Anyway, so...
I'm sorry, can I just add one more?
Sure.
Who was supposed to be in room 111?
It doesn't say.
What?
It just says, these are the teachers, here's the room, you know, Reyes, room 127.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And then what about the other ones?
Well, I don't know what teacher would be in there. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't say.
Oh.
So anyway, he...
Is that an interesting question to ask?
Well, it is. I mean, who knows? If maybe that day they were watching a movie, apparently, you know. So maybe they went in there for that. Maybe that room has the video. I don't know.
Okay.
So anyway, he says that he thinks that the attacker entered through 112. Now, again, I'm trying to visualize myself. Did he get... He doesn't remember getting the Raptor, which comes on his phone, tells him that there's a shooter.
Okay.
Right? There's an active shooter. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't remember that. He doesn't remember locking the door. He thinks that the shooter came in through 112. I mean, this is bizarre from the standpoint of, you can hear the bullets outside your room. Right, he could hear the bullets outside his room, right from the very beginning. Why would he think that the shooter entered through 112? Those bullets are shooting from the hallway.
He's in room 111,
mm-hmm.
and the shooter comes.
He's shooting his door, room 111.
And he shoots his door and then walks in.
Well, right.
So why is he saying he thinks he came in from another door?
That's what he says in his testimony to the legislature.
What is he up to, this guy?
And
what is he up to?
And I'm trying to make sense of this, because you would think that as soon as he heard those bullets, first he'd say, kids, get down! Right? Do whatever you're told to do.
Right.
He has time. He's got seconds, but he's got time. He's hearing the bullets.
Right. At the door.
Yeah. Instead he's saying, I thought he came through room 112. I'm like, well, that's bizarre. Right, that's a bizarre statement.
I'm telling you, if someone is shooting down your door and you're behind it in that classroom, uh-huh. how in the hell can you mistake him shooting in your door for him shooting in the door next door?
Well,
how is that possible, Kelly?
I agree, it's bizarre. That's why I brought it up. I think it's a bizarre statement. So then it says that, you know, Chief Arredondo testified to the committee... Okay, that he saw the locking mechanism on the door, room 111, or what he calls a thumb, the locking mechanism that goes into the throw. So in other words, he could see the lock in the throw, in the door, okay? During that, that's why he said, the room is locked, I can see the locking throw.
Right, okay? During when?
During the shooting, okay? He says, there's a small gap in between the door and the frame, and you can see a fraction of an inch the throw. He goes, I have an image in my head of seeing this. And then the committee says, no, 111 was not properly or effectively locked. Now, this is the guy saying, look, this is what I saw.
Oh, this is before the shooting, though.
No, it's after the shit. It's while they're in the midst of it.
Okay.
Okay, remember, Arredondo is trying to find keys to unlock the door.
Right.
And the committee's going, no, it was unlocked. And he's going, no, I saw the lock. I saw the lock, a quarter of an inch, I can see, like on, you know, any door.
Right.
Which I find this interesting. The committee's going, no, it was unlocked. This is the guy that was there. Okay. So then you have the halogen brought in, and it says... Dispatch asked Sergeant Coronado if the classroom door was locked. He responded he was not sure, but they had a halogen tool to break it. Radio traffic indicated the attacker was in Miss Morales' classroom, 112, and asked whether her students were inside. So, I mean, I guess the thing is, it's like, How did he get in? Nobody's answering this question.
All right. Call me obtuse. Call me obtuse, right? But let's go back to that guy who says, oh, yes, he saw the lock in the mm-hmm. door. Mm-hmm. It's important to note when he saw that lock in the door, because he couldn't have seen if that door was shot in by
the kid. We don't know that. All we know is that the kid shot at the door. Did he shoot at the lock? I don't know. Well, we haven't seen a photograph of the door.
But hold up now. What we see in the video is we see the kid shoot, back up, shoot again, and then we see him go back into that well, and then you hear all this shooting, and you know these kids are getting killed.
That's right.
So you know he's in.
He's in.
You know he's in.
Right.
So my question is, when did this guy say, oh, it was like, because locked or not locked, that kid was in at that point. Right. So what does it matter?
Well, again, Pete Arredondo, who is saying that has saw the door locked, mm-hmm. the kid was already in the room at that time. Already in the room. So you have to say to yourself, how did he get locked again after he went in? The kid doesn't have a key to lock it again.
Right. He didn't go outside and lock it again. That's for darn sure.
No.
Oh, my God.
So how did he see it locked? Because he came after the shooting.
But this is a guy who can't remember. I don't know about this guy.
No, Reyes is the teacher who can't remember if he locked the door or not.
Right.
He can't remember if the shooter came in through 112. He thinks it came in through 112. That's Reyes.
Oh, okay.
This is Arredondo, the chief of police of school safety.
I'm mixing up my bozos here. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
So I shouldn't say that. That's not professional, but still, I mean, this is such an outrage. Such an outrage.
So it says at 12:45, someone commented that a ranger had a set of keys that was being tested. And finally, at 12:50, a team of officers made entry into the classrooms and killed the attacker, with officers stationed in the south part of the hallway quickly falling in behind them, entering room 111 and 112.
Yeah, now that everybody's dead.
So it gets keys. Keys! We're back to keys again. They get keys.
Oh, my God.
Right? So here's the clincher. This is the one that just blows me away.
Okay.
No pun intended.
Okay, yes. Okay. Of course not.
He observed the classroom doorway had multiple holes consistent with bullet holes. I guess so. I counted 50. He did not want to expose or jeopardize the safety and lives of any officers by trying to pry the door open.
Oh!
Colonel Guerrero, this is a Border Patrol guy.
Guerrero.
Guerrero. Then obtained a master key. From an officer at
now
the
everybody's
scene.
Everybody's dead by this point, right?
Oh, major
dead. Everybody's dead, but they don't want to...
No.
They don't want to jeopardize the safety and lives of any officers.
Right.
Wow.
As he made his way to the classroom door, an officer advised him to try it on another door first. Good. He attempted to open another door along the hallway, but it didn't work. He saw a few Border Patrol agents and advised them to start setting up a triage situation for mass casualties. He then received a second master key, which he successfully used to open the door. Working with the Border Patrol, Commander Guerrero had another agent use the rifle-related ballistic shield to give him cover as he opened the classroom door. Colonel
Guerrero
placed the key into door room 111 and opened it.
What?
Okay, he says, now look, these are his contemporary notes. In his statement, Guerrero says, I placed the key into the keyhole. The key worked and I was able to unlock and open the door. Special Agent Warren Becker, he says the door was locked, and I utilized the shield to provide cover for acting BORTEC Commander Guerrero as he opened the door with the master key. Here's the Border Patrol. At 12:47:57, an hour and 17 minutes after this whole thing started, got a master key that opened the lock on that door.
All right now. So we're supposed to believe that Kelly, let's we're supposed to believe that he shot the door in.
The shooter.
And then the door closed and locked behind him.
That's what they're letting us say. That's what they're telling us.
And that they used the key to get
back
in.
Had to have the master key.
My head's exploding right now.
Oh, it gets even better than that. This is really going to make your head explode.
Okay.
Okay? The Border Patrol. Okay, there's 347 police officers on the scene. They all have body cams. Every one of them. Okay? The Border Patrol. Six Border Patrol officers who breached room 111 with the master key.
Mm-hmm.
None of the Border Patrol agents involved in opening the door were wearing activated body cameras. How convenient was that? They don't have any body cameras at all. None.
Okay. And what have they said about why their body cams were off?
They didn't. They just said they didn't have them. Now look, all day long, we got 347 law enforcement officers walking around the school, walking in the hallways, walking, beep, 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 they're everywhere. They all got a camera, and we're looking at each other's ass, really, basically, all day long. That's what the cameras are showing us, the back of another officer. Here we got the guys breaching the room, and theirs aren't turned on.
Okay, we're going to have to take a little break, but I just want to let you know that you can follow us on all major social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
While FBI jackbooted thugs marching through Mar-a-Lago sucked up all the oxygen yesterday, two big primary races were decided. Trump-endorsed former Green Beret Joe Kent got the nod to represent Republicans in November's general election in Washington State's 3rd Congressional District after incumbent never-Trumper Jamie Herrera Butler conceded. The district leans heavily Republican, so Joe has a great opportunity to return conservative representation to the people of Washington State. In yesterday's marquee matchup for the gubernatorial nomination in Wisconsin, Trump-endorsed businessman Tim Michaels defeated Mike Pence-endorsed Rebecca Clefish. In this proxy battle between the president and his former vice president, the vice president has yet to win a single race. Mike, maybe it's time to hang it up. Don't run in 2024. Let America first, take America back. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
There is a special place in South Dakota, a place of hope, love, safety, and opportunity for Native American children. This place is St. Joseph's Indian School. Here, we preserve traditions, provide Lakota kids a safe place to learn, attend to the mind, body, heart, and spirit of every child in our care. To learn more, go to helplakotakids.org today.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free
from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
We're talking with my guest, investigative reporter Kelly O'Meara, who has arguably done more research into the forensic evidence on these school shootings than anybody else. We're talking about Uvalde right now. She has reviewed the three, their interim reports that have come out and talked. We've been talking about some of the anomalies. So, Kelly, let's keep going on this. We had Doorgate.
Yeah, well, it's important. I'm very interested in seeing a photograph of room 111's door because we need to know how the shooter was able to enter that room. Was it locked? Did he break the lock to get in? If he did...
Yeah, because the scenario in the report is he got in, the door locked behind them,
right.
And then after he'd done his work, they had to find a key to open the door.
Right, yeah. No, they needed a sledgehammer and a halogen.
Yeah, a sledgehammer, okay, to open the door. That just makes no sense to me at all. But
well, it's ridiculous because it took them an hour and 17 minutes to breach this room with a key. I'm not sure I can believe that. I saw that kid shoot 50 rounds.
There were three guys or however many guys, four guys with guns who were listening to this all go down in the hallway. There were those hundreds outside who could have at least come into the hallway useful.
Well, they did. And during the day, it seemed like a day, during the hour-long siege, they're all milling in and out of the school, you know, constantly. They're all milling in and out if you watch the videos. Okay?
It's so weird. It's like they're... Oh, my God.
It's like there's... You know what bothered me the most about the videos? There doesn't seem to be any urgency. No urgency in any of their faces, in their actions. You know?
That's bizarre.
Here's the other thing that's bizarre. If you look at the cams, the body cams videos from the Uvalde police, which the mayor put out right away, and some of the other videos, nobody goes... Wow, do you see all those holes in the door? Like, if I was a cop, I'd go, God, do you see how bad that door was shot up? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, man, he really shot it up. There's nothing like that. Nothing.
I'm going to tell you what weirds me out. What weirds me out is that video that they took of the kid coming in and so on, the hallway video. When he starts shooting, I don't hear anybody screaming.
You know, it's really interesting. You don't hear any screaming. And my question to that is, did they edit that video? Did they edit the screaming out? Can they do that? You know more about that than I. You're the producer.
I'm not a sound cleaning expert or anything like that. I mean, I don't know. But I find it very strange. And I've heard subsequent reports. I brought it up. In a previous, I think on my other show, Whistleblower Show, you and I discussed it. And then all of a sudden, there was something, I saw a report that said, oh yes, they edited those out because it was so disturbing.
Oh, they did, okay.
I heard some report to that effect, and I just thought to myself, that's so interesting after it's been put out there that all of a sudden there's this response. And I'm not buying it. Mm-hmm. Why would you clean it up? That's evidence. You don't clean up evidence.
Right.
Okay? That's evidence that those kids are being killed by that kid. By the shooter.
I agree.
That's
evidence.
You have altered evidence.
Yeah, I agree.
You have altered evidence. So anyway, I find it very strange that there are no screams. And also the sound of the officers talking is snurgled. Is the only way I can put it. It's not like, wah. You can't really hear.
I agree.
What they're saying. It's not clear.
Right. Well, and the video itself is not good because it's a fisheye video. So you don't get a good view. Once the kid is down in front of the doors, you don't get a good view.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that as much as if there whatever the natural sound is
right.
that was picked up, you got to leave it like that.
I agree.
Because that's the evidence. So
I agree.
That is very strange.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. And you know, that hopefully will be addressed in the final report. You know, of all the three reports that have come out so far, I find it odd that they haven't talked about the school windows. Because all the classrooms have windows. There's no mention of the windows in any of these reports. Because, you know, hey, were the blinds up? Were the blinds down? I'm assuming if the kids are watching a movie in that room, they had the blinds down.
Couldn't somebody have sniped him from the windows?
They could have if the blinds were up. If the blinds were down, no, how could they see, right? But again, there's no discussion of that in these reports. It's all about the door. The keys. We gotta find the keys.
Yeah, that's a weird. It's almost like a whole narrative that's meant to sort of give you the impression that they're really trying so hard to figure out how to open this door when it's completely besides the point because the kid is already in there. So somehow the door is breached. But now all of a sudden in the report you add this other weird element about well he may have gone in there and done that. But then the door closed behind him.
Well, here's the other thing they don't talk about.
What? The shooter. You shot this door, but you know, out so you can get in and it'll close
and
nicely
lock.
Behind you and lock.
Right. When the teacher actually has to come out of the room and lock it. Anyway, So the other thing that's it's kind of interesting is they don't speak about room 111 and 112, the middle door. In the middle of these two rooms is another door.
Oh.
So the kids can go in and out of the rooms without going out into the hallway. They can just go in and out, one room 11, 112, well, you know. So the kid left, when he went into 111, and through that door, he went into 112. So there's no discussion of whether he shot that, was that door locked, which by the policy of Uvalde, it's supposed to be locked.
Right.
Did he shoot that door out to get through into room 112 to kill people? I mean, these are things that, it matters. These are the little things that matter in investigations.
The details are everything. So let's talk about the toxicology.
Oh, well, the toxicology. Well, that's going to be interesting of the shooter, Salvador Ramos.
How long does it take for toxicology?
You know, it shouldn't take any more than, you know, maybe 4 to 6 weeks max.
Okay.
And in a case like this, you'd think you'd want to speed it up a little bit. This is not your run-of-the-mill need a tox thing done. This is a school shooter.
If you were to, with urgency, how long would it take?
3 weeks.
Okay.
So it also is going to matter because we're going to find out, was he on any drugs, illegal or legal, meaning psychiatric drugs that would change his behavior in any way. it'll tell us whether he had done any kind of illegal drugs. You know, it's funny, Colonel McGraw, in the beginning of his statement to the state legislature, he says in his report, you know, Salvador Ramos wrecked the truck, you know, and he really wrecked this truck, by the way.
Amazing that he actually could get out and
exactly
grab his gun and go do the shooting.
He says that he wasn't able to make turns. Wait. That's very specific information. That's really specific information about this shooter. He wasn't able to make turns. Who told him that? He hadn't talked to the grandparents yet. I mean, I'm like, who gave you that information that the shooter couldn't make turns? He didn't have a driver's license. I get that. But he's 18 years old. I mean,
turning a steering wheel. Come on now.
Yeah, he said he wasn't able to make turns.
Okay.
So I found that very interesting that Colonel McGraw came up with that. That he verbalized that the driver wasn't able to make turns.
Kelly, what do you make of the mayor?
Yeah, you know, the mayor of Uvalde is wonderful. Actually, I kind of like him a lot. He has no bones about telling people what he's not happy with. He stands behind his police officers, the Uvalde Police Department. There's only five of them, by the way. There's only five police officers.
He stands behind them?
Yes.
Why?
Because he thinks they did what they were supposed to do. Okay?
Which was?
They got to the scene, you know, they were waiting for instructions from the command, blah, blah, blah.
Who's the command?
Well, again, it was Arredondo. But Arredondo says he wasn't the commander. Nobody took command of this thing.
Oh, hold up now. So the mayor says they showed up waiting for the command. He says Arredondo is supposed to be the commander. Arredondo says he's not supposed to be the commander.
Right.
So I'm sorry.
This is the whole thing.
I don't get it. This is the mayor of the town. He's got to know something about who's in charge down there at the police station.
Well, he doesn't.
And who does Arredondo say should have been in charge?
He doesn't.
Well, there you go.
Nobody's taking responsibility
exactly.
for who's supposed to be in charge.
I think Arredondo is
but
not
the mayor, I give him credit. He has released videos, the video cams of his police. Right away, he did that. Put them up there on the internet. Anybody can look at them.
Is there anything interesting on those?
No, like I said, you get to see the back of somebody else's shirt the whole time.
Okay, all right.
They're like, you know, it's ridiculous. But okay. He has provided as much information as been requested of him that he can legally.
But why is he saying there's a cover-up?
I don't know. He has not provided any specific information. I think he thinks there's a cover-up because they're not really, you know, the district attorney is not releasing information and
What information is the district attorney supposed to be releasing at this point?
I don't know. Again, this is the mayor saying, you know, you're going to try and blame it on Uvalde police when in fact we weren't in control.
All right. Since this is a crime mm-hmm. that happened in his district, mm-hmm. the Uvalde police mm-hmm. should be doing the investigation, shouldn't they?
The Texas State Police are doing the investigation.
Well, along it should be no. Along with the why not?
Because they were part of it. They're part of it. They can't investigate themselves.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Texas State Police mm-hmm. are supposed to be doing this mm-hmm. now. I wonder how unbiased they're going to be. Oh, well, we've got a minute left. Kelly, tell people where they can see and hear more of your stuff because you
yeah,
are
go to Don't Ask That Question with Kelly O'Mara on my BitChute. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Rumble. And you can go to my website, Don't Ask That Question with KellyO'Mara.com.
Thanks for coming on. It was a pleasure having you.
Thanks, Chris.